I'm going to pick up where I was talking to the kids. After Easter, after all of that, and then by the time we get to Pentecost, it's that curious in-between time that really fills our minds wondering what's going on. Because really, that curious in-between time, remember we have the ascension, and then we have and then Pentecost. That's the curious in-between time. The Sunday after Pentecost is called Trinity Sunday. No big deal. But the in-between, and when I ask the kids and I question them, what did the disciples do? They were perplexed. And we know that there's a big gap about what was going to happen, what was going to go on, shall we continue or shall we just call it a day? Remember, it's also a time when they met together and chose another disciple. More about that later. In between. Sometimes we're like this too. After Christmas, by the time we get to Ash Wednesday, it's that sort of a gap time. What goes on in the life of the church? Because if we talk about programming and programming, January is kind of a lost month, isn't it? When you think about it, you do all of the stuff going up into Christmas. And then all of a sudden, bloop. Open your Bibles. The book of Acts is called the history book of the Christian church because it's really the first century that they're talking about in most of Acts, what's going on and what takes place. So, as a history book, that's very good. I'm reading now the first chapter, 15 through 17, and then 21 through 26. Not that everything else in between isn't good, it's just not necessary. It's that curious in between. Okay, we read 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry." Interesting. And then we pick up at 21. "Therefore, it's necessary to choose one of the men who've been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you've chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11. Remember I said the curious in between? Well, this is the curious in between. Justus and Matthias were both equal, at least in the eyes of everybody who was around, because they'd been with the disciples and with Jesus Christ when he was doing his ministry. Okay, that's great. But Matthias won the drawing. The Spirit-led selection to a reminder for us all that we may be in a community of faith, but we are hopefully still Spirit-led in what we do and what we say. The disciple used the drawing of lots to select Matthias because Justus and Matthias were qualified. But the Spirit led the disciples to Matthias. I've always compared this to the blackball process that goes on in fraternities and sororities. You don't want somebody, so you put in a black ball. If there's one black ball, you're out. And that's what happened here. They drew lots. And Matthias was the winner. Okay. And both Justus and Matthias were part of the early fellowship. Both of them really were qualified. We don't hear much about either one of them after this. We don't. We don't know what happened, where they went, or where they go. Matthias, now one of the 12, began his ministry with the 11 boys that had been part of the Jesus squad from the beginning, but we don't know anything about him. We don't. But he filled in the void. He replaced Judas, and he became a witness for Christ. You know, ministry probably happened through him, but it wasn't about him. He was doing what everybody else was doing, and they weren't sure what that was at this stage of the game. Now, Justus is among the faithful who also was known as Barsabbas. Now, he joins all the disciples and witnesses to share the risen Christ. They became, with Paul, the new proclaimers for Christ, going out into all the world. Now, how does this apply to you and to me? How does it apply? Thought about this. Well, if you even think you're not significant in God's kingdom, if you think that ever, you're wrong. That's what this story points out. There is nobody who is insignificant in God's kingdom. No one. Every single one of us is a superstar if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. How's that? No matter who we are, we are called by the Spirit. And it began really at baptism for every single one of us. That's the imprint. The imprint that goes with us through all of life. That little dab of water is a reminder. And within our Reformed tradition, we know that when we're baptized, we are one with Christ. We are one with Him. That's what this story takes us into account. No matter who we are, we're called by the Spirit to lives that really are witness in all that we do or say for the glory of Jesus Christ. No matter where we are or what we do, we open our eyes to recognize the fact that there are these same gifts in other people, that we're all one. There is no division. There never should be. As a new 12th disciple, Matthias is used by God in ways that we don't even know. And I imagine in ways that we would very little understand what God had in mind to do with him. That curious in between, that's that somebody that was chosen who didn't make basic reading that we know, but was necessary to do God's will in the kingdom of life. That's where you are. How about that? Everybody in here is a Matthias. How do you like that? Well, big deal. Matthias who? Matthias what? God wants us in ways that we can very little imagine to do His will, to do His work, and to share His good news in Jesus Christ through the Spirit. We'll touch the Spirit next week. But through the Spirit, we've heard about it. You've got it. You've got it. Use it. That's exactly what the story says, because through the Spirit, we're called to ministry and mission. The Holy Spirit equips and sends us in ministry and mission. We're all part of a community that's called by God in prayer and discernment. We're challenged to help each other, to identify with each other's hurts, and to identify our particular gifts and to encourage one another in ministry. Hard? Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because sometimes we don't think we have any gifts that we can use for the glory of God in Jesus Christ. We think we're too old or too young. We think we're too tired. We think somebody else can do it. I really don't want to be bothered. My favorite story about this was, there was an old elder in one of the churches I served. And he'd gone through the blues. You know, it happens as we get older, we get kind of down. He was down. And I was trying to joke with him and talk to him. He says, "You know, preacher, there ain't a..." expletive deleted. "Thing that I can do for God. There's not a..." expletive deleted again. "Thing I can do." I said, "Well, how many years did you teach Sunday school?" He said, 53. "Then I couldn't stand what I was teaching." "How many years you been going to church?" He said, 82. "Ever since I was a little boy, I wouldn't miss church." "Well, there were some preachers I could have missed, but I couldn't miss church." I said, "What makes you think that you're not able to do anything for the kingdom now?" He said, "I'm too old and I'm too sour." I said, "Well, I can agree with the sour." He was a pill. He was. But I said, "You know, there's one thing that you can do that nobody else can do as well as you can." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Pray." You can pray at home. You can pray when you go to the store. You can pray when you come to church, I hope. and God will use you. God will use that prayer, I guarantee it. I don't know what he was thinking, but he said, you know, I think you're right, because I think God does call us and bless us and expects us to keep blessing others. Thank you, Reverend. I'll give it a shot. Then he said, would you pray with me? And I took his hands, and he didn't want to, you know, people that don't like to hold, but I held them, and we prayed. It made a difference in his life. It can make a difference in yours. You're Matthias. God, give us guidance and direction. We want to serve you, and we only ask that you would guide us, that we might serve you with thanksgiving in marvelous ways that are only due to your love in Christ. Amen.